Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey Peas, before we start this episode, Mandy and I just wanted you to know that we're putting a little trigger warning in because there is a mention of suicide. So if that's really sensitive for you at the moment, then maybe you can come back to this episode another day.
Also, Peas, just wanted to let you know that our beautiful P, Tanya, spoke to her son about this episode and we have his full permission to talk about their story together. We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're speaking to a beautiful P who's going to tell us some truths.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. So if you don't want your kids to hear it, put your earbuds, pods in, headphones, listen in the car, just enjoy. Hi, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Well, Annalise, this is for you. It's freezing in Melbourne.
Got my cardigan on. I brought my hoodie, but I haven't brought it in.
Well, actually, number one daughter said, I think it's time for hoodies to come back for
you and
Mandy.
I think they're coming back.
Yeah, I was like, yep. We put the little heater on, but we can't have it on when we're talking to you because we want to give you the best sound experience possible.
So we sit here freezing for all of you.
No, anyway.
It's autumn.
It is autumn and we've just gone into cold since
Easter.
Yeah,
it was just like Easter, beautiful, boom.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We've got puffy jackets. We've got boots. We know how to do it, Melbourne.
We do.
We're so good at the cold.
And this time last year, this is all I keep saying, this time last year.
Yeah. And people sharing their Facebook memories of like setting up homeschool and stuff.
Me too. The trestle tables.
We were going to have it together. Organized. Oh, no. No.
I was like principal hose with all her shit together.
No.
And then I saw one come up. I saw in my Instagram about how I'd said, I'm finished being a homeschool teacher.
Oh, no. No, you're not.
Little did we know.
No.
Anyway, we have a long-time listener with us today.
We do. First-time caller.
Yeah, first-time caller. Oh, no, she's called in.
Pipes,
that's
yes.
Right, yeah. So we're very excited. Would you like to introduce yourself, say hello?
Oh, hello there. How are you going?
Yeah, good. So what? Tell everyone your name.
My name's Tanya Waring, and I'm a P in Brisbane, where it is stinking hot today. It's lovely all night, but quite hot. So that's who I am.
You have the air conditioning, we have the heating.
Yeah, silly Australia.
Mm. Correct.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
How did you find us?
Thank you. Oh, gee, that goes back a ways. Oh, no, it was Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Yep. Everyone else.
Yes,
yeah,
like chat everyone 10. Else. Chat 10. Yep.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And I have impressed it upon, I tell everybody, everybody, teachers, our therapists, I tell friends, I tell family. And it's interesting, you can, it's a really, if someone who is a friend who doesn't have a shoot, it's very interesting if they choose to listen.
Yes.
When I give a description that this is just such an insight into our world, whether they choose to have a listen. And then I had one person say, didn't get that into it.
That's okay. We have our own friends and family say that. So
My friends are like, I have heard this. On repeat. I'm not listening to you.
It is interesting though, isn't it?
True. Yeah, it is. Because that wasn't, I think it was really just like, I'm not interested in your life. Really,
yes, so. That's right. Don't tell me. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's right.
Let's get back to our gin and tonic.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, let's do our questions. All right. So, can you tell us about some music that you listen to in the good times or the tricky times? What's your favourites?
Oh, my favourite's Paul Kelly. And I know that seems to be a bit of a theme. I just he's a very conflicted character, Paul Kelly. He's just, well, you know, he's deep and dark. Yeah. He's poetic and he's got lots of interesting life experiences. But his music, I just love his music, and so
I saw him a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah, reading poetry, like he's doing his poetry reading, and he can recite poetry. Like, his mind must be incredible for all the lyrics, but then just he's like, oh, I'll just do a sonnet from Shakespeare. And it's amazing. And I could listen to him read a shopping list. So
that's right. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. He's amazing.
He is. All right.
Yeah, me too. And Hunters would be the other.
We're the same age.
Our vintage.
Good Aussie stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Totally the same age. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes.
Jenny Morris.
Have them all.
Just throw them all out.
That's right.
Oh, dear, too funny. And did you win any awards in school?
Mate, we didn't have awards. No. I'm not even joking. I was Ducks of Grade 10, which is the end of that school, and I got my name on a plaque, which I saw 30 years later when I went back.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, but not at the time. I don't even think we had an assembly. Like, it was not something that was. And then in Grade 12, I was second Ducks of a bigger school, but again, you know what I got? I got a book voucher. And I went and bought, and I'd never had a voucher and never really been in a bookstore because that's not how, you know, we just weren't of that. That wasn't really our family. And although we all read a lot, but we went to the library. We never bought books. We went to the library.
Yeah, same.
And so I went into this bookstore and I was overwhelmed. And I walked out with a dog book, a book about dogs that I have never read, but I've still got it. It was on dog breeds. Like, what was I? I was like 17-year-old girl. What did I want with a
Why
book
weren't
about
you getting
I just didn't know
flowers
what to
in the attic
choose.
Or something? Yeah.
I don't know. I'd already read that.
Yeah. And maybe it was the exact amount.
Well, maybe because your mum and dad were there, you're like, all right, I'll get the book on dog breeds.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just overwhelming.
Cute.
And so,
that's cute.
Yeah.
You can't really buy the joy of sex or something like that, can you? So, you know.
No. And look, I was still at, was about to move down to Sydney where my life began.
Oh.
And,
might have bought a different book a year later.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, cute. All right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you're a P?
I'm a P because I've got three gorgeous boys. Number one is neurotypical. Number two is on the spectrum of autism. And number three is on the spectrum of autism and has ADHD. And the my second boy is so different to my third boy. Mm. It's really given me an insight as to the, you know, just if, you know, people say if you've met one child on the spectrum, you've met one child on the spectrum, and that's so true.
That's true.
That's so true.
Yeah, so his second child needs no real, like, understanding of autism, definitely, and recognising when he is not coping and understanding that you need to make reasonable adjustments for him. But we don't have, you know, he does not need interventions like therapies and whatnot. We did a lot of stuff early on, which has just completely fallen away. Mm. Third child, couldn't bang more appointments into my week if I tried.
Get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're choosing between appointment fatigue and need for treatment all the time.
Yes.
So very different children, and three different diagnoses. and three different deliveries, which was interesting too. The first one was, I am sure that pediatrician was on the spectrum herself, and basically I went in there to see if he was ready to go to school, and she said, oh, he's got autism. And I just was out of left field. I had no experience with it. I didn't understand it. And then she was basically like, see you later.
Oh.
You know, he'll have to go to school. That was that. And
just diagnosed him. Have you done any testing?
She did. I took him there to check school readiness.
Yep.
And she spent, like, she did, she was correct. She did like maybe, I'm going to say an hour and a half of testing with him, and then spent, you know, half an hour giving us the news type thing, but so abrupt and so just no.
That's not normally.
No kind of.
No, and normally they'd say, look, I'm leaning towards thinking this, but I'm going to get you to go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. We'll get another opinion, but I'm just letting you know, not just bam. That's really unusual.
Yeah. And then the second, she was right, but it was just, because it was accumulation of things that we'd done before that was information she had to hand plus her testing of him, but it was just not on our radar. That's just not, no one had said that to us, so we just were not thinking that. And then the second boy, the third boy, he was very different. He was so, looking back from his birth, he has been demanding, and he has a very he's so loud, and he's so we knew that, well, actually we did, what we thought was, oh my god, like, he's just out of control, and we just thought he was being a boy because that's what sort of people say. And even though we had two boys prior to him who did not behave that way, it still gets excused a lot.
It does.
Or not excused, because it's not that they need excusing, but just it still gets sort of,
well, it is used as an explanation,
Yeah, that's right.
And but actually, children are children.
Dismissed, yeah, so that's right.
If it's your third child, you think, oh, this is a bit different, then maybe it is.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's right. And it wasn't until we took a trip and we went, we both had long service leave at the time, and so we took a trip together for a month, and we came back from that like white knuckled and just going, we went to the pediatrician the day after we got back, different one, and look, she didn't need to spend much time in his company to say, look, he's clearly ADHD, because he was older by then, so he was old. End of prep.
Yep. And the prep teacher hadn't said anything?
Well, we had been talking about him being a big personality from when he was born. She'd seen him from when the others were.
That's good.
So we did 2 years of kindy to sort of give him more time.
I think parents should have a badge that says we did 2 years of kindy.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes, Kate.
Yes. Oh, it's like when they say that, your heart just sinks.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, really?
Another year of kindy.
You can't take it.
Oh, no. You're just waiting to go to school.
I know. And anyway, 2 years, another year of, you know, 2.5 days a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And also meeting a whole new group of parents, and you've got to pretend that you're going to be friends with them, and then you've got to cheer on all your friends whose kids have gone to school. And
Yes. And, you know, all the, you've got to do, go and, you know, work in the, got to go and work there.
Yes,
like once
you do.
A term,
for
and
a
you've
duty.
Got to go and, all your duties.
Sweep the floor.
Right. Clean the toilets because nobody all can that, pee straight.
No, that's right.
Pretend that you care in the playground.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Oh, no, that might just be me. Oh, hello.
That's right. Pretend that you're not just thinking, why can't we be in the park with a glass of wine?
Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah. So, yeah, then so we went to see this pediatrician, different one, and she said, look, he's clearly ADHD. And my problem with her was she said, right, you can have this drug or this drug.
Oh.
This one will help him at school and this one will help you at home. And that was kind of that. And we said help at home straight away because we were just at the end.
Yeah.
Now, over the course of the next several months, I did some research and I was really unhappy about that particular drug and the side effects and the lack of real research for prolonged use of it in children and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, right, we'll wean him off that and we'll go back to doing everything that we've done before but do it on steroids. So, you know, have the cleanest of clean diets, see a dietitian.
Yeah.
We're equine therapy, we're doing all of the additional things.
Yep.
Anyway, that was an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And I look back for him, what a difficult time. He was out of control. How terrifying this child to be so out of control and not looking around. No one else is this out of control. So why am I so out of control?
And they just judge themselves.
Oh, my God, they do.
And people judge you as a parent?
Of course they do.
It's a spiral, terrible, terrible spiral.
Absolutely. And he had been in this spiral since birth because we've talked about all those implicit negative messages that they get all the time. That's what's going on. So by 6 years, he's had 6 years of seeing his brothers, be able to do certain behavioural things without any problems, and he is failing. Fail.
Yeah.
It is so, so unfair. And look, we love him. Like there is no love bigger than a mother for their child and a father for their child. We love him.
Of course.
It was still really hard, We still... it's not that we were saying to him all day that he was, an asshole or anything, but but all day you're sort of saying, why can't you?
Yeah. Oh, don't do that. Why can't you do that? Stop doing that. Don't touch that.
Stop. Yeah. Yeah. Why are you doing that? I just told you not to do that. Why are you doing it again?
Yeah.
And just constantly exasperated with him.
Yes. And because no one's prepared you either. Like I think parents
need
to go
to
counselling or to see an amazing neurodivergent counsellor themselves, parent coach, because I just remember seeing this psychologist and she said to me, just don't use any negative phrasing. Just don't say no or stop. I was like, they're going to run into the road. Like, what am I going to say? Oh, hi, Buzz. Look, I just want to talk to you about the traffic.
Let me just talk about that again. Yeah.
Like, it's just so easy to say. In the moment of life and death, you're going to go, no, stop.
Of course.
It's like, well, that's negative messaging. Yes. Also, he's being hit by a car.
Yeah. And, and you're also getting tired.
Yes.
So you're getting more and more frustrated. Mm. They're getting more and more frustrated because they can't understand why it's all not working out for them. And you can't understand why it's not working out.
I know. So you blame yourself as a parent.
Like you're just clashing all the time. And it was a really tough time. So we took him off. That particular medication because it wasn't a lot of great follow-up either. It was just like,
all the best.
Here it is, off you go.
Yeah.
And I can tell you now, medication is very, very important.
Yes.
It's very important for the child. But on its own is not the answer.
Not.
Like it's just one thing to give them the ability to attend in class and to, like it has a really important
place. It doesn't change who you are.
No.
And nor would you actually want it to, but.
No.
But it
a
doesn't.
A little bit maybe, but.
Look, I mean, if I could get a weight loss drug that was safe, I'd be happy
honestly.
To change my own.
That's right. Yeah. But so, it was, we just were not on the right one for him at that point.
It takes a lot. We've been through a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And
medication's a very long journey.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I could talk about it for about 6 hours, but people probably don't want to.
Correct.
Listen.
Same. Yeah.
Can I just ask, sorry to interrupt, did you have the ASD diagnosis already? Or
no.
No, okay, you're coming. All right,
so that
sorry.
Was just the ADHD.
Right,
and then, I just thought, I was unhappy about the lack of kind of information with that exchange. So I heard on the radio a doctor, a psychiatrist talking about equine therapy and I thought, I'm going to try that too.
Yeah.
So I tried to get him in and we couldn't, she had to evaluate him. We had to wait 3 months to get him in. We had to go and see her first. She couldn't just take you straight to the horse. So we still haven't seen the horse, can I tell you? So we went to see she's been the best thing for us.
Yeah.
We went to see, she took us in for about 2 hours. Mate, I'm not joking, and you'll know this, Mandy. He was almost like a mouse in a trap, running up the walls and over the ceiling and back down the other wall again.
Kate knows about the ADHD.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I'm looking at you, Kate. Sorry. But
people do it all the time.
Yeah. And so he was literally jumping off the furniture. Like, just, and we were clearly stressed.
Yes.
And she was, she just was so calm and listened to us and watched him. And she said, well, we can't do equine therapy until we get a bit better handle on that ADHD going on there.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So we started with a different medication, which was and we talked, she talked to us about ADHD, so we had a better understanding of the neurobiological condition.
Yeah.
So that was helpful. And she talked to me about medication options and what the different things did. She's a psychiatrist.
Okay, okay.
So she's,
so she knows,
So absolutely, that's her field. So she did all of that. And then she, we went off with one script. It was a complete disaster. It was a short-acting stimulant, which meant that he had a drop-off. And parents of kids who have short-acting stimulants know about that drop-off, right?
Oh, yeah.
That drop-off was a disaster that day. So he, we had, that was the first time we had police, ambulance, like, and I can't tell you how many officers we had in our house.
Oh,
so traumatic.
Yes.
Yep.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yep, so traumatic.
For him
and, you.
And us, like, it was just, and I think I want to say that it's really okay to involve police and paramedics because we have had them in our house just so many times, and I have not had a negative. Now they have been so kind with us and our family. They know our family now, which is also helpful because
you don't have to
him being known in our community is important because when people see him or hear him, they know he's got ADHD or he's got something going on and his parents are there and they're not. I don't worry if a child's screaming. I worry if a parent's screaming.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think as long as the parent is under control, then it'll be okay.
Yeah.
But if the parent is out of control, that's when you're going to have some more problems.
Yes, that's a truth.
And I've been that parent. I'm not judging it. But
no.
It's so the police have been.
Yeah.
It's so the police were. We went to hospital that day, and then. It was just so, it's still one of the lowest points of all of our lives. It was so awful because you don't imagine when you have three beautiful boys that you are going to have the police attending on you and that they are going to be talking about how they're going to tackle your child to the ground and restrain him, you know. It is traumatic. And that's, and whenever I speak of how I feel about something, please understand that it is no one has it harder than my son. In my story,
yeah.
he has it harder than anyone. So he is the one, this child with this brain that he is really struggling to control. It just, gets out of control. And whenever he's in that meltdown state, no one's more terrified than he.
Yeah.
You know, it is terrifying for him to feel so angry and so frustrated and so upset. He doesn't know what to do.
No. It's a response behavior, isn't it? Like it's.
Yep.
They're
absolutely
just responding
it is.
And
yeah.
I don't know how to
so
respond.
Then we. And you know what? The other thing I wanted to say was we went to the emergency department. So that's the first time, our first interaction with police, ambulance, and emergency department. We desperately needed an inpatient review of his diagnosis and medication. There are 8 beds in Queensland for all children under 12 for mental health issues.
No way.
way, and I bet it's not that different in every other state.
No. Eight beds.
Now, these are not medical beds that are turned over every day.
No.
These are beds where, like when we went in there the first time, he had one bed and I had the other because he was young. So we had two of those eight beds for a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's
not enough beds.
So there are six beds then.
Yeah.
And the beds are occupied.
Well, all under 12s would probably have an adult with them.
Not all. Because the second time we went in, they said, you can't stay because we need the bed.
Okay. Right.
So I was in there a lot, as you, like you all know about having a child in hospital. You are in there as much as you possibly can be because you can't leave them. Like you feel like you're abandoning them if you don't. So we went in and there are kids who are cutting themselves, kids who are starving themselves. Kids, and this is under 12.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, like a friend of mine actually, bizarrely, was coming in with her child who was starving himself as we were leaving the second time we were in there. And, you know, she rang me and she's saying, you know, like, God, what's it going to be like? You know, are they going to be fearing the worst of what you imagine, like a cuckoo, one who flew over cuckoo's nest, this mental health ward's going to be like that. Mate, I'm telling you now, the only kids who get in that ward are kids who are fiercely loved by their parents because you can't get in there until you have fought. I can't remember, over the next 3 weeks after that first day, 3 or 4 weeks, it was over the Christmas period where everyone's on, psychologists are all on holidays, terrible. Over that period of time, I think we attended on the hospital ED by ambulance or police like maybe six times.
Wow.
Just a disaster.
Yeah.
And then in the end, they rang me up because they're like, we weren't bad enough to get in. And that's – so now you tell me, how many kids with cancer would be told, come back when you're terminal and then we'll let you in?
Oh, goodness.
I know.
You know, it's just so unfair.
Mental health's just not taken seriously in Australia.
No, it really isn't.
And it's actually not. It's a disability. Like it's amazing discrimination to people with a disability to say, well, you can't come.
Exactly.
And they don't have a voice because they're under 12. So they require parents who are going through trauma to become fierce advocates. It's just so broken.
That's right. It's and between 12 and 18. There are now, as of this year, there's 16 beds. Now, can you imagine the escalation in mental health issues between 12 and 18?
Oh, enormous.
And there is 16 beds, 8 in that facility and 8 at another one.
So what happens if you live rurally?
You're competing for those beds and you have to come to town.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you get preference because you have no other services, whereas you've got more outpatient services in the city. So both times we're in there were people from the country.
Mm.
Yeah, and so very
so
much
harder for
them.
So you don't have a Royal Children's Hospital? Have you got a Royal Children's Hospital?
That's it.
I'm sure we have more beds in our.
I don't know.
I've got a friend who works there, so I'm sure she'll message me and say, this is how many we've got. But,
Yeah. It's crazy. So that was our kind of and she's been terrific. So since then we have come a long way, but that that awful period of what the hell's going on, why is he not responding in the same way that our other children were and to know and to, you know, anything that didn't go his way and it was a really, really tough time.
Mm. How old were they at that time, the other boys?
So they are, they're a year apart. Right. So they are, at that time they were 6, 7, 8.
Oh, little.
Yeah.
A year apart.
Yeah, little.
All three of them.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at you. I'm just imagining having
three boys
over three.
Yeah.
I am laughing at you. That's because I'm like, wow, how did you do that?
I didn't know it was going to be so hard.
Yeah, well, true. You don't.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have.
At least giving yourself 14 months.
Oh, my God. It was, yeah, it was a bit, it was intense. It's yes. still intense for different yes. reasons, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were, you know, and I guess, and that was really, we've heard a lot about ADHD, but I guess my, the part of my story, which is similar to all those stories, that I really wanted to see for other people who live the same dream, just the, you know, it's so tough on kids and their families to not understand what's going on in their brain
yes.
and to struggle trying to, you know, he has so many ideas and he just, he struggles really hard to understand why he can't just put everything he thinks of at any given minute into effect immediately, if not yesterday.
I'm only laughing because I relate.
Yeah. It's, you know, that,
that
thinking
mind
feeling.
With that amazing yeah. creativity.
Yes.
Like, oh,
yep.
my goodness.
Yep.
It's just, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's, look, and it, because what I see my job is to try and get him through his childhood to yep. an adult with his self-esteem intact yep. so that those, that beautiful creative mind is unwrapped
yep.
yes.
without being squashed
yes.
because,
oh, it's a challenge.
You know, it's so hard. Yeah,
I say
it
that
is.
Every parent-teacher interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want self-esteem.
Yep.
That's,
yeah, that comes
that's what
first.
We want.
Absolutely.
Everything else we can
absolutely.
Make up.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, because they take a battering
yeah.
to themselves. So.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's, and children, yep. we all learn forever. So whoever said, oh, you've got to learn within the first
yeah.
7 years, oh, bullshit, because I'm still
no.
learning new things.
Yeah.
So we can learn as adults. We can yep. get through adolescence.
Absolutely.
Tell know. Us about starting school.
Yep.
What
absolutely.
Was that, what was starting school like?
He was known at the school, which I think is important too. He was known for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He was very loud and he was always having meltdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So he was known, but the teacher he had in prep, like, he, look, we've been very lucky with school. And it's not just luck, it's also that we've had a, you know, I'm an advocate for him. Sometimes I'm great, sometimes I'm.
Yeah.
Probably less than
welcome.
Great.
Okay. Yes.
Welcome.
Yes.
Mediocre.
Yeah.
Mediocre.
Mediocre.
Yeah. Mediocre.
Really
right?
good
yeah.
days.
So,
really shit days.
Yeah. That's yeah. right. That's right. And you're trying really hard to tread that diplomatic line of not stepping on toes, but insisting that things be adjusted. There's this great thing where I've had to quit my job as a lawyer, and I'm doing psychology now. So
yeah.
I've learned, and I've also intensely interested in ADHD, so I've
yeah.
done loads
yes.
of research.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've learned is our job as the adults in his world is to scaffold him so that he can meet expectations, or alternatively lower the expectations to meet his capacity.
Yes.
So his executive function is what it is. It doesn't matter
no.
what you expect of him.
No.
He can only do what he can do.
I know.
And
I
yes.
think
yes.
people with children with intellectual disabilities understand that.
Yes.
And I, know,
yes.
I really understand that.
And
this,
people with
this is
yep.
the capacity that she has.
Yes. And
yeah. yep.
with invisible disabilities, people go, oh, well, they look average, so they must be
yes.
able to behave
yep.
like an average child.
That's right.
But it's just rubbish. Anyway, I'm just going to break out. Can you hear a noise? Because my boys are actually home from school camp.
No.
They're going up and down on their
oh,
scooters.
They're riding their scooters all
no.
through the house.
I want to hear it.
I
can't hear it.
It's
oh,
so loud.
Oh,
it is so loud. I'm like, I hope she can't hear this. If you can't hear it, then hopefully no one will hear
it
on the podcast.
I know. You want to hear that. There's
well,
no thumping this time of air.
It's
zooming.
He's been on that scooter all day.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh.
I think we should leave
we've
that
we've got scooters too.
Maybe we'll leave
because I've missed the thumping.
Oh,
no, well,
I would have felt like.
There's no thumping
yeah,
during
and
the day.
I wanted
yes.
to hear it.
Oh,
well,
no. It's really
believe
loud.
Me, it's Mandy and I just like, oh, my goodness. It's, I think that's the loudest it's ever been. And before you judge me, yes, we allow the children to have scooters in the house.
Yeah, she's given up.
I have given up.
When I got
yep,
here, one
absolutely.
Of them said, don't
absolutely.
Tell mum, there's a really long line. Like, it skidded up the hallways, this huge long line.
Anyway, living his best
yeah,
life
like
up there.
Like, she's not going to notice that, buddy.
I know.
I know.
point you said I've given up on that a long time ago,
mate. A long time ago. Don't worry. Anyway,
okay, let's go back to it. We digress.
Yeah.
What were we talking
school.
About?
School.
School. Yes. Anyway, it was good because, So, look, school's been the school, like, we've come a long way. I'm just at the moment asking them, I want to go in and deliver a talk on ADHD to the teachers to talk about what the diagnosis is, neurodiversity, what's going on in the brain.
Yes.
And to talk about, you know, trying to work out with each child where their capacity is.
Yes.
So that you can work out then what you can do to scaffold or what you can do to lower the expectation really to meet where their capacity. Yep.
And sometimes it's both.
So
you lower the expectation and you scaffold to that.
That's
and it's we all like to get a win. Don't we?
Absolutely.
Our whole life is based on a series of rewards, like, oh, I learned my times tables, my maths easier, or someone gave me a lollipop because I learned my times tables. But if you're never getting those little rewards along the way, school is bullshit to you.
Oh, it's, you know, it's so common. School refusal is so common in the ADHD community. And, Mandy, I'm talking more about ADHD because obviously that's the experience.
That's okay.
But I'm sure in the cerebral palsy community that there's also issues along the same path because school's a place of misery.
Oh. Yes.
Whereas we've had, for the most part, we've had, it's been pretty good. But it's interesting with friends, like the parents, we don't get invited very many places.
Yes. I was going to ask that. Parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is hard. So, yeah. And there's parents who just view it as poor parenting.
Oh, yes. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I bang on all the time. So I'm in our school Facebook group always posting about ADHD, but I'm the one who bangs on about it.
Yeah.
And who, you know. And it's just excusing. And so he thinks that these kids are friends, but
I
don't know. Like it is a bit hard. I think you know, God bless him, but he gets on well with everyone.
Yes.
And they're very understanding. Like when he has a meltdown at school, the people in his class just say, oh, that's just Matt having a rage moment.
Mm.
Just leave him. And so kids are actually pretty good with him.
Kids are good.
So I actually think it's the parents.
It is the parents. It is the parents. We had a thing in the Hangout recently where someone said that their little girl, I think you might have commented, but their little girl went to a daycare centre and she was, not daycare, play centre. And she was having a morning at home and her husband texts her and he goes, big win, there's kids from daycare here. And so the mum was like, oh, that's so awesome. And then he texts back, actually, it's a birthday party and we weren't invited.
It just broke my
heart. Oh, I cried.
Me too.
And then,
I was standing at the sink.
Me too.
And I was talking to Buzz and Woody.
Yeah.
And then Buzz was like, this is the parents, mum, because the kids don't do this.
Yeah.
And I thought, he's lived with these kids. He knows that they're friends with him at school.
Some might. There's some mean children.
Oh, there are some mean children. Very rare, though, because I think it's
true.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, well, that's what
I
know.
I agree.
Was taught.
If Mandy and I won Tats Lotto, we would go to schools and we would teach empathy, like an empathy project.
Absolutely. Because that is.
It's just, it's so cruel.
Oh,
so cruel.
I think I wrote, it's cruel.
It's cruel.
I think I wrote about it, but we had a mother's lunch. And one of the girls in my crew, said, oh, look at this. And all the kids from all the other girls' families were trooping up her steps because she lives close to the school, except my child, because we weren't invited that arrangement. Now, I would have probably made a decision not to do that because
but that's your choice.
I don't want to put him in it.
Yeah.
That's right. But to not even include us.
Or whatever works for you.
You want to set him up for success.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Yeah, it hurts.
I know.
It really hurts.
It hurts everyone.
Yeah.
So
they're not my crew.
No, they're not.
And then you realise.
No,
they're
really not.
Wrong audience again.
Not my people.
You're not my people.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, but you have misgivings and you think, no, it'll be okay, but then that's not the only thing that happened. There were lots of examples.
I've had really, really, really close friends. Really close friends that have spent a lot of time in my home and I thought, and they just didn't invite, excluded Buzz and Woody from a party. And then I thought, I don't want to be unchristian, but I can't love you anymore. I can't. You broke my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
You broke my heart.
That's exactly right.
I can't. Yep. There's just no coming back from it. You can exclude me as an adult because I'm capable of having other friends, but don't exclude my children.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
So,
And we've already got so many layers of broken heart. There's only so much we can take.
That's right. Yeah, so I think we choose those ones and go, that's it.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So I think that's why sometimes there's a harsh pushback from us because there's only so much our broken hearts can take.
Yes. And
And then you've had enough.
And I used to feel guilty. Not now. I did. Mm-hmm. I'd feel like, oh, I've let that friend down and I've. And then I'm like, they've got a whole bunch of people that love them. They're living their best life, going to unfenced playgrounds. So
going to roller skating parties.
Yeah, you know.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, I'll just. Yeah. So, and that's
but
fine.
It's a loss.
It is. Like, and that is part of the heartbreak of this journey.
It
is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
It's not the parenting fun thing that I thought it would be because it's. God, there's lots of moments where you're just like, wow.
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
Look at that family with three boys all going to footy or they're all playing on the cricket team together, and, you know, and you're just watching that going, that's not
because
us.
Because we're presented with an unrealistic view of parenthood, an unrealistic view of just a healthy baby. Go back and listen to that episode if you want.
Yes.
And so we think that that's what we should strive for. And when we subconsciously put that onto our children, and it's beautiful when we have the awakening and go, fuck the lot of you. This family is grouse.
Yeah.
You know? I love my family. It doesn't make it easy to love them, but it makes it easier to ignore people. It doesn't, I'm just like, I don't need you in my life.
And I actually think that this podcast has, you've changed the way I think about that as well because, like, my experience, but listening to this and thinking, yeah, you know what? Sometimes I've got to buck up because I've got to – this is what my life is.
Yeah.
I've got to stop wishing that it looked like that because it just fucking doesn't. And it's never going to look like that.
No.
I have to really – and I'm over time I think I am getting better and going, okay, well, this is our lot.
Yep.
And the way I plan our lives now suits our family.
Yes.
The way we plan holidays, the way we – look out for each other in different ways. Like my husband just went away with my big boy.
Yeah.
So that they had some special time fishing.
Beautiful.
Yes. And so things like that, which are adjustments for our family that work for our family.
Yes.
And also I'm got a bit thicker skin for people who think that you're always on holidays, mate. I'm always on holidays because I don't fucking work.
Yeah.
And I don't work because I can't.
Yes.
I actually can't.
Yeah.
So if I'm not going to be able to work, then I may as well do stuff with the kids.
Yes.
Because I can't sit in this four walls with this tornado going on all day.
Tornadoes prefer it in the wild.
They do. He's happier. We're all happier if we're out doing stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And mountains are the –
the mountains.
They're the gold.
They are.
Oh, they're the gold.
That's where we go.
Being
we
outside.
Go to the mountains. Yep.
Yep. We're always walking up something.
Yep.
Yep. And yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's what we'll call this episode. You know, P friend Tanya, we're always walking up something.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's definitely, it's had to be a real mind shift for me as much, and that is once you kind of start down that track, and it is easier when you hear other people hear their stories and you go, oh, yeah, okay. So not like, and you know what? Those other people, they probably have their own shit to deal with.
Yeah, I know.
It still looks, it doesn't look as hard, I'm telling you.
No, it doesn't.
But this is why, and I'm going to blow all of our, the three of ours trumpet, but this is why we did this podcast. Because we were alone and we felt lonely.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, thousands of people felt like this. And
we knew it.
Yeah. We did know it.
Yeah.
But having,
well, we didn't know it to this degree.
No, and having the collective P tribe going, yeah, I feel like that. Oh, yeah, shit, I feel like that.
Then you go,
this is normal.
Yeah, because otherwise it goes round in your head.
Yeah.
Round and round and round and round and it does not leave your head.
Miles.
Yes.
And
we needed to get it out of our heads.
Yes, so we gave it to everybody else.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah.
But I think it enables us to love and accept our families because we didn't have a voice, right? And enables us to be so proud.
Yeah.
And so when a, you know, like I'll use my own child, when scholarship, you know, got a scholarship at high school, Yeah, I was proud. Good on her. But she was born with that brain and chose to use it, right? But when Buzz or Woody learns a new coping skill that means that they can enjoy life more, oh.
That's a milestone.
That is a milestone that changes all of our lives so much. So
absolutely.
It doesn't compare. I just think, I don't know, we get the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
It doesn't compare.
Nothing compares,
Yes. I mean, our milestone at the moment is we're having screen issues again, like just here's a real – anyway, like we're just having – that's a bit of an issue at
the moment. Yeah, it comes and goes, you know.
Yeah. And I have – So we've cut back and his reaction was always going to be over the top.
Yes.
But you know what? We didn't have any holes in the wall.
Yep.
We didn't have police attend.
Yes.
We didn't have
change.
He didn't. Well, he threw a bit of furniture, but dents are better than holes.
Oh yeah.
So when I reflect on the last week, I think, we are moving forward because all this work we're doing, and we're doing a lot of work.
Yep.
It is helping him, and these are hard things. I'm asking my nearly 12-year-old, who has this incredibly intense personality, but this brain that is like a Ferrari brain with bicycle brakes.
Yes, I know.
And I'm asking him to have the maturity to try and work out perspective taking, to try and think about how he thinks about things and understand his brain, concepts and things that adults struggle with.
Yes.
And I don't expect him to do it, but that's I'm asking him to come with me. Let's, I'm always, mate, that's your ADHD brain, okay? Yeah. So this is when we say, oh, I see you.
Yes.
I see you, ADHD brain. Yeah. I know what that's about. I'm gonna go do something so I get my dopamine going.
Yeah.
And, those are, they're big things. They're adult things. And that's what we're trying to help him do as a young boy so that he can grow up and not have those bigger struggles later in life. Mm.
And you know what? It does work because my boys are, 3 years older and they are so good now at saying, why do I do that? Why do other people do that? Why is that response? Like they ask questions I've never heard anybody ask. And it makes me examine my own behavior and go, why do I do that? But that is a gift that they have to go, no one else is doing that. Why don't they do it? Do I want to do it anyway? Or do I want to mask and fit in this situation? Like giving them the choice of what their behavior response is, it's really powerful. So it's,
and the
language. I'll say this to people with little kids, it's really, really, really tough, but it does get different,
Yeah.
It does.
I agree. Yeah. And I've gotten that from you too. Mm. But even that language that you've just used then, that is your gift to them because they are saying what you've like you we say things all the time, 100 times, 1,000 times, but I don't expect him to turn around and say, oh mama, understand that concept. No, I don't. But it sits with him.
Yes.
In the same way that other things that people say to me, I might not agree straight away or at all, but it sits with me and it might change how I think about something over time. So it sits with him and your boys using that language back to you is that's your success right there because that's them going, why do I do that? Yeah. Because you've been saying, why do you think you're doing that? You know, and I say to my son, mate, look at my face. Do you think that's making me happy?
Yeah.
If you do that, that's not a good example.
No, I know what you mean.
It's not his measure, but
sometimes you do that because that's all children.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Because whether we like it or not, we live in a society. So, and we have to be able to fit in enough to have a happy life. So,
that's
we don't
right.
have to be the same as everybody else, but we have to.
Yeah.
And they're all, it's nice to be able to gauge what our mood's doing to other people.
Absolutely.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else.
Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I want to say that idea of maturity is really, I'm really noticing in my own family, and it's with Molly, but I think the thing that always got me stuck was because of her intellectual disability. Yeah. So I'd be like, well, she is who she is. She's going to be like this forever to some degree.
Yes.
But as a nearly 16-year-old, there has been movements. Mm. And so it's – but when she was 11, oh, I could not have pictured her now.
Yes, that's right.
You know, it's such an intense time before puberty as well. And it's hard to know who they're going to be.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And that's important to hear from – people coming behind because, and that's what I want to say to people who are seeing this in their own children who are six.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you. The next fucking 10 years are going to be a bloody
The lead up to puberty was pretty hard. It was really hard. Yep.
And Shane was saying to me, it will be different when they're through puberty.
Yeah. So. And I feel like it is to a degree.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Who knew he was right? But to that I say to people, if you can escape for a little bit, if you can go away with a girlfriend, if you can have a walk on your own, you're never to feel guilty about it because that regrouping time enables you to be such an awesome mum. Mm. So just other people might feel guilty. You're not allowed to.
How do you do that, Tanya? How do you look after yourself?
Yeah. I am very good at, very good at, carving out bits of time because I don't work. Mm. I try and use my I'm studying, but so that's great because for half the year, so two semesters, you have 13 weeks, you're busy, but then you have all that other time.
Yep.
And I'm good at carving out time to I cycle most days. Mm. I might go up we've got a couple of they're mountains, but they're not really mountains in Brisbane.
Yeah, they're mountains to me.
Go to the gym.
Yeah,
that's right. Like I do something outside or in a gym.
Yep.
That is my thing. If I don't get my hour and a half, then I get it cranky.
Yeah.
So I need that time. So I protect that time and I create that time for my husband. Yep. So we both know that we have got to have that bit of time and we have carers that help us. So that I either use that time that they're there or I use time that they're at school to get away. Because it's not that he can't be left, but it's not fair to him to leave him if he's I need to be here.
Yes. Troubleshoot.
Or he needs to be occupied. Yes. That's right. Because, you know, and you will both know the exhaustion of you live in your house constantly listening to the sound of the voice.
Yes.
To see where he's at.
Yeah.
Because elevation can look like being really silly.
Yes.
It can look like screaming in your face.
Yeah.
It can look like, you know, throwing furniture around. Like elevation, that's all dysregulated behavior.
Yeah.
And if I hear him getting into that zone, then I know I need to go and help him try and regulate back down into the green zone or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you never relax. You're always kind of, and then you get resentful of each other if the two of you are there because you're like, I do this all the time.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
We could write a book about this.
You're like, oh, my God. Yeah. And look, and, you know, we're very, we've got amazingly, if we've survived this, mate, we can survive anything.
It feels like
so
that,
true.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. We've got a, it's not a perfect marriage by any chance, by any means, but it's we're still together, which I think is extraordinary.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Well, the stats are high, right?
The stats are high. Yeah. They're not in your favour.
No, they're
high.
Not in any of our favour.
No. And I understand that. I don't judge that.
Not one bit.
You know, one of the most attractive things about splitting, and we've both said this, would be that.
Yes! all the peas are all
the single peas throwing their phones across the floor.
I know.
And we get that that is a rectum comment.
Absolutely it is.
But I hear what you're saying.
It's not that easy. And I can tell you it's not that easy. And I'm sure we've all sat down and gone, okay, we could do that or we could just make this work.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll just make this work because this is probably better.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's not it's making light of the grass being green.
Yeah,
on the
so we know the grass is
because it's not. Yeah, that's right. Because I know single parents.
Isn't that what they said? Really?
That's right.
Like the lemon tree.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So, look, I do try and carve out time. I think that I can't say enough. And, the people who I would like to help get help is people who can't get a break. Yes. You know, if you've got to work full time and you're a single parent and you've got to shoot or more.
Yeah.
How the hell do you get through? That's right.
Yeah. And they're tired. We're bloody tired.
They're tired.
Yep.
And if you don't have an education background or if you are struggling with your own trauma, and we are all traumatized by how hard it's been, how the hell do you get through NDIA help that you desperately need? There's just so many built-in injustices
which make
into
life
trying
10
to
times
raise.
Harder.
Yeah.
Yes. They're really, really
yep.
is.
Yeah.
Because you have to almost dedicate yourself full-time to trying to get that help you need, which is, it is. Yeah. The therapies, just fighting with the NDIA it goes on and on, especially with invisible disabilities because they just say, oh, well, he's doing all right now.
I know.
So, we'll just stop that. And the research about the ADHD brain, that it is actually 85% of people, children with ADHD, will always have an executive lag for their
always.
Whole life.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
So it is a lifelong condition, whereas earlier research, well, they probably weren't as stringent, but it was thought that you grew
they
out
did
of
think
it.
You grew
now
out
you.
Of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's because some
mature.
Of the hyperactivity lessons, some.
Yes, right? That's right.
So then if you just take a snapshot of someone, you're like, oh, well, they're not fidgeting.
That's right. And also they're not at school.
No, they're not at school.
So
they don't have to conform.
The expectations are different.
They don't have to conform.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So they can go into the workforce.
Yes.
But the good thing about something like medication and all the therapies that support the child is that instead of when they get to the end of school having low self-esteem and being defeated by the system – and only having options that allow you to work with your ADHD brain and any dysregulation that continues, so you might only have these options of work available to you, then if you have the benefit of medication, you might then want to go to uni.
Yeah, that's right.
And get through uni and have other choices as well. You might end up doing, I think my son will end up doing, something with horses, something sailing, or writing a book.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a lawyer in an office, but he'll do something.
But if he
having
wants to
medication
be
and therapy, he gets the choice.
Yeah, that's right. And that's
so
what
he
it's
gets
about.
More choices.
Yes, much more choices.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. I agree.
But I guess it was. Yeah, look, so it's been, I try, and we were talking about trying to get a break, but we definitely try and make sure we get breaks. It's the most intense, of course, and that's when you cannot get away from a break, like when you've got a child in hospital for a month or you've so in those really down times and, we have had really, really dark moments. Yeah. Like I've had moments where I've just thought this is not fair on him, it's not fair on the other boys, it's not fair on us, maybe I should just – kill myself, and I'm not – that is the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
And although they're your 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., that was that first time we were in hospital or we had police and that. And then, I am Catholic and I do go to Mass. I recognize all of the issues with institutional churches.
Yeah.
But the thing that, what got me through that time is it would be so, God doesn't want me to do that.
Yeah.
Like that was just what got me through, that God would not be happy with me and I just have to get on with it.
Yep.
And look, since that night, that's exactly what I've had to do and I've just had to do it.
Yep.
And it's,
But this
and
is,
you do
I'm
get
not,
on
I don't
with
want to
it.
Interrupt you, but I just want to say this is why parents of children with additional needs and disabilities need help and support. Because we, if we don't get it, we think we're doing something wrong. Because if you can't breastfeed your baby, oh, there's a whole association you can ring up. They'll come to your house for free. They will sit with you, 24-hour phone lines, you know. But if you, if your child is having issues that nobody else does, there's nowhere to turn. And, you
and
know,
it's no quick fix.
There's no quick fix. But if you knew in that moment, they said, oh, tomorrow someone else is coming to talk into you. Their son's 17. Blah, blah. And she said to you, have you felt suicidal because of this? You'd be like, oh, well, that's a, it's a normal response to this. I feel like I'm failing my family, which you're not, of course, and you know that now. But those avenues aren't there.
But it's really.
Yeah.
Because you feel like I have tried everything and, you know, what more? I'm an intelligent woman. I've done. What more can I do? And I didn't have this podcast, so I didn't know. Look, it will get better.
Yeah.
You know, it'll get hard. There'll be other things that are hard, but this is not going to remain. And you only know that when you look back, because you look back and you think, okay, we've come a long way since that night. You know, and it's, and also I deeply believe he will be okay, you know, because I think he knows how much he's loved and he knows what an ally I am to him and his family.
Yes.
So he, and I cannot overstate the importance of that connection. No. Everything, Lou Brown is all over this. She's doing her master's on this. Connection is key. So that's where we were. That's, we were so disconnected back then. I'm looking at him. I'm screaming at him. He's screaming at me. Because we were like, just why neither of us were having our needs met. So we're just like, but, you know, I've learned so much since then. And I, the connection. So, and that's hard sometimes because it's quite difficult when someone's screaming abuse in your face to find that connection.
Look, mothers of teenage girls will understand this. Mothers of teenage girls. So it's not just, you know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. A lot of this is, a lot of people actually relate to.
And then I've learned to deliberately look for the gold.
So there's, Isn't that an amazing thing?
And that's what I hear from you girls all the time. You, you're looking for the gold. You're looking for something to share with your friend that was funny. And that moment with, and this is, I put this in my letter to the teacher this year too, that, you know, he's got a lovely sense of humour. Which you'll see more than me, but he, you know, we had this lovely moment where we were watching a Bluey episode together and we both laughed spontaneously at something that happened, which, you know, because it was funny, but he will bring up that scene. He will look at me sometimes and go, you're on your own, big fella. And it just makes me
the best.
Every time. It's the best. You know, but just, the hospital episode and it just, but he loves that. He loves that.
He loves that.
He's made me laugh. We have that connection. That is a moment for us. And trying to find those moments to build that connection so he feels connected to us and he knows he will always have his connection with us even when we are unhappy with each other about something.
It's unconditional love.
That's a hard thing for him. Yes, but and it's hard for him to believe it because we've had such a traumatic journey. And I think so he, it's very easy for him to fall off that circle of security and think, no, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't believe me. She doesn't want to hear from me. She's not listening to me. She doesn't love me. She's going to be angry with me. She's disappointed with me. I have to keep reiterating in really genuine ways how just to build that connection is so hard sometimes.
It's huge, isn't it, actually?
But really, really worth it.
When we laugh, Molly says, you put that in the podcast. you're right. I'll remember that one. She loves it.
She loves it. My boys are like, more content, Mum?
She'll remind me. I'll say, remind me of that one because I don't have my pen with me. Remember that? for the podcast. Okay.
Oh, yep.
Beautiful. Oh,
but
so
that's
funny.
Changed our lives.
It is.
Yes. You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Every way.
Celebrating diversity.
To in that,
oh, it's beautiful remembering. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
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 Very. Yeah.
And it's that implicit, what you're saying to the world is, I love my daughter
yes.
and I'm so proud of her.
Yes.
You know? And in that moment, you know, and I think that's what is it. Telling someone else how wonderful your child is, if they can hear that somehow, is so great for their esteem.
It really
you
is.
You know? It just, yeah. And so saying to the world, I love my child,
yeah.
he's a lovely kid, when, you know what, there's, I don't want to make it sound like it's some, you know, heavenly kind
no,
of arrangement
we understand.
That's going on
the
in this household.
Understand.
Because,
yep.
yeah, it's absolutely, it's in, you would never, ever want him or anyone else to be in a situation where someone's screaming and being abusive.
No.
You would never want anyone in that situation, but yet we find ourselves
yes.
in that situation every day.
Yes.
And so that's a really hard thing as a woman
mm.
to be, you know, in this situation and finding it hard to sort of navigate, well, how do I let you know? You can't talk to me like
yeah.
that.
Yes,
you know?
And yes, that is
yeah.
really big
it
deal.
Is, it is, yeah.
You know, with
really
a lot of my
tricky.
Friends. Is there anything that we've missed that you want to tell the P world?
You know, I just for I just wanted to say I see the hardship and difficulty that comes with kids who can be violent and can damage things and can, you know, and knowing that that is something that they can't control and that they need lots of help and support with doesn't make it easy for the parents who have to give that support and that guidance all the time. One of the ADHD guys that I listened to on the Attitude podcast, mm. Someone said, you know, but I've got ADHD too, you know, what do you do? And he said, look, there's a power imbalance between child and adult, and he's a big believer in you've got to punch up. So you have to actually be the calm in their storm,
mm.
even if you've got your own struggles, mm. because they're a child.
Yes.
And we can't, you know, even if you've got your own struggles, it's not going to change theirs, and they're still children. So that was helpful to kind of see, you know, that's the role we've got to play.
Yeah.
And that's, but that doesn't, you know, it's just so hard sometimes.
It's hard.
And
yeah.
I just want to see, I just
yeah.
want to, see other parents who are living that, you know,
yeah.
where you have those moments and you think, how the hell did our lives become this?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and also to say, you know, I think with all the tools that that our family are fortunate and lucky enough to access, we are seeing real changes, which I think are wonderful. So I want to be hopeful about
yeah.
the future
yes.
as well.
Yes.
We've, you know, as I said, we've come a long way from we don't have that same he is showing much better control over
yeah.
wanting to lash out at everybody because he feels so conflicted in himself.
Mm.
And so, you know, a lot of it's fear-driven, I think, like just so afraid. Like it's terrifying to have these huge emotions
yes.
that you've got no control over. So,
mm.
You know,
yeah.
I just wanted to acknowledge that is really tough, and it's
yes.
a really tough part of being a good parent
yes.
is getting through those tough moments. Yeah.
Yeah, that's – thank you. I think a lot of people will really appreciate it.
They really, really will.
Yeah. yeah.
And we have loved talking to you.
Oh.
It's been a long time coming.
As with everyone, we could talk for hours and hours.
I know.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's just scratching the surface of your story. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank
yep.
you.
One
That's
day
it.
We might make
and
it to Brisbane and do a live show.
Oh, imagine.
I would love that
I
so
know.
Much.
We'll try.
I would love that so much.
We'll try.
We just
we'll see if anyone
terrified.
Comes to the Melbourne shows.
Yes, that's right. We'll see if anyone
anyway,
turns up.
To also see the other P parents.
Yes.
Because
it's the best.
You know, it's really – where I just know I'm going to walk in there and just go, oh, these are my
well,
people.
When we did the Sydney show,
yeah,
that's what
everyone
it
was,
like. Was
amazed. They had
yeah.
to kick us all out.
Yeah.
We're all just,
yeah.
Hi, hi, hi.
Yeah.
yeah. Women about their birth. Actually.
It really, really was.
Yeah.
It was an amazing feeling.
Well, we'll try. We'll try and get to Brisbane. One day. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yes. Or I'm going to get down there if things change. I'm taking a break next week for my birthday, so it just didn't quite align up. Otherwise, I would have come to the Melbourne one.
Oh, no. That's okay. Have a wonderful time. It's a milestone birthday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's a big birthday. So fortunately, I'm running away for a week and cannot wait.
That'll be fantastic. Good on you.
It'll be good. Thank you so much, girls. Gosh, it's lovely to talk to you.
Well, thank you for your contribution to the P Tribe in the Hangout.
Yes, you're beautiful.
On the Speak Pipes.
Yeah.
Your beautiful discussion today. And we really love having you part of our gang.
We really, really do.
Love you guys. Thank
you. We love you.
Oh, Tanya, wasn't she gorgeous?
Oh, so gorgeous.
So lovely to meet someone that we feel like we've known for 2 years, isn't it?
So beautiful and just such an enthusiastic face, which I know none of you could see. That's not what happens in a podcast.
Beautiful.
But I'm sure you can hear her enthusiasm coming through. And we're very grateful that she gave up some of her time for us.
That's right.
Yeah. Very, very lucky.
And I know this episode will be terrific for so many peas.
So many peas. Yeah.
I mean, every week is, isn't it?
Oh, come on.
You know, there's something awesome from every week.
Yeah, I just learned so much.
I know, me too. Okay, what made you cry this week?
Okay, so what made me cry this week was, you know, because I'm on the jewellery train, my mum gave me her wedding ring and my great-grandma's wedding ring, which she modelled her wedding ring off.
Right.
And I have put one of my rings in between them.
Yes,
and it looks
beautiful.
Really pretty.
It does.
And so she just, you know, mums are funny. She's like, I really want you to have this because I've got three brothers.
Yeah.
So she's just preempting anything and just giving it to me. I was like, I want you to wear it. She's like, I don't really. She's a big gardener and, you know, actually
weed.
Gets dirty.
She loves weed.
She loves weed. She's got a hot house. That's all I'm going to say. I just love it. And I'm like, wow, Dad gave this to Mum and I love my great-grandma. And I just wanted to say that it made me cry every time not every time I look at it, but I feel really connected to it.
Yes.
And that when you give a gift like that to someone, it's really beautiful.
It's very special.
Yeah, so that was my cry this week.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I cried many times, and it's because we went away for a week with my family.
Yeah.
And there was just lots of tricky scenarios.
100%.
I haven't been away with them for like over 2 years.
Holidays are tricky.
So anyway, but the thing that made me cry was I got tickets to Hamilton in Sydney. Oh, my gosh, peas. So you got a picture of this. I was walking around an athletics track while Millie was doing some practice 2 weeks ago and I thought, I'm just going to ring them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to find, excuse my French, the fucking link to ring up for the companion card.
Yeah.
We all know this. Anyway, searching through, finding, and then I ring up and I said, look, I know this is a long shot, but on this date, would you have 4 tickets? And I've got the companion card and they said yes. And I was like, what?
She was like, what? I got to pay now.
But I had some money there and I thought I just, if this is the one thing I can do for myself this whole year.
Come on.
And what a gift to be able to give to my girls.
Yes, and the girls no one's done anything.
No, we haven't done anything fun like this in
a
long time.
All those different personalities could enjoy.
Yes,
that's
a
rarity.
It's a rare thing.
Yes,
so I just,
I would
when
cry
they
that
started
too.
That song and I was just singing it, we all had masks on. And
actually,
the Lyric Theatre was really beautiful with her. She got a sticker to say she was mask exempt. She was very proud of that.
Yes.
They were kind the whole way because she was getting a bit overwhelmed with the crowds and we just haven't done anything like that.
No, I know.
So, I just sat down and just cried. I sang every word behind my mask, you know. It was awesome.
And what did you think of the king not being the king?
Oh, he was awesome.
The king's always good, isn't it?
We loved him and the girls loved him. And although Molly did say, is he going to spit?
I know. That's what I
see.
No.
I thought the Australian cast, I am no critic, but I thought the Australian cast were fantastic.
Well, I've heard people.
It was.
I was talking to Jordan, who's our Acast person, and she's seen it in London, and in Sydney, and she goes, "I think Sydney was better."
Just thought they were incredible.
Well, I haven't been in Sydney yet, but
every one of them. Oh. And you're just like, how could we love them more? Because we've only seen it on Disney. But I loved every single one of them. The King was awesome. He was funny. He made it a bit Australian.
Yeah,
it was really, really good.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
So anyway, for all you Sydney people who've been lucky to go, and if you've got the companion card, you're able to use it there.
Yeah, good.
So yeah, I had a bit of a cry about that.
Yep.
And just of joy. Just, I can't believe we're here. This time last year, we were in the lockdown.
And we didn't know what was coming.
It's just
what
like
I always think.
2020 no March, idea. Mandy, or April, Mandy, just had no idea and now we're here.
I know. Now we're like, oh, well, if we go back into lockdown, like we've
at
just,
least
our
I've
whole
done
life
that.
Has changed with the way we view the future. Well, I might come, but we might also get locked out of your state. Or, you know?
Yeah.
Yay to getting to Sydney and back without a lockdown.
I just didn't believe anything until like 2 days before, and then that really bites you in the ass when you're not a planner. So to have booked those tickets a week before, that's true Mandy style.
But it worked for you.
Usually this sort of thing works for me, and I'm a bit anti the really ahead planners.
I think
haven't you got any room for spontaneity?
Oh, yeah, I love spontaneity too. Actually, I'm a both.
Yeah, you're a bit of both. Yeah, I don't think you're that.
No, it's because I've got too many children with too many things and so I have to really plan
for
a proper event. But
Anyway.
All right. And so my difference?
Yep, go for it.
Okay, so in Melbourne recently we have had the comedy festival and the city has just come back to life.
Oh.
You have no idea. Like I went in pre-comedy fest and I was like, what's going to happen? You know, like I just couldn't feel, it didn't feel like Melbourne.
Mm.
And during the comedy festival, there were just people on the streets and the footy was back as well.
Oh,
so it was busy, it was busy and you couldn't get into restaurants. And I was very, very lucky because the comedy festival coincided a couple of weeks with school holidays. So I was able to go knowing that I didn't have the school rush in the morning.
Yes.
My husband was able to be at home.
Yeah.
I mean, hardly anyone's traveling. So
yeah.
Everyone's half the time working from home still in Melbourne. So I can just hear the scooter going around.
Sorry, Peas, but the thumping is gone, but today it's been replaced by scooters going up and down the roof. If only you could hear it. It's so loud. When I arrived, who was it, Woody?
Yeah.
Said, don't tell Mum there's a really long line, like a skid. It's so funny.
I know. It's just
we digress.
Scooters. But anyway, sorry. So it was just so great going. Anyway, you know I love Comedy Republic, which is a new comedy club in where we went for the non-award podcast awards where we didn't win.
Yes.
Anyway, when Mandy and I went to that, we sat on the table with those other podcasters, the only people that would talk to us, and we sat with Dion and Christian from
Welcome to Patchwork.
Was it Christian? Anyway, we sat with Dion definitely and, I think it was Dion and Christian and they were so funny and warm and inviting and so then I started listening to their podcast, which I binged and I love. Number One Daughter's with us. She listens. Scholarship listens. So we could go and watch them do a live recording.
See, it's the best. Oh. That's why live shows are awesome, podcast.
Just like, it's all of them and they're talking.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
When she wants to do the live show.
Yes. And it feels so good.
Oh, it was so good. And they're so clever. We don't expect this when you come to our podcast.
No.
But they like put the little song in halfway through and so you can all hear it. And they've got sound effects and whatever. We're all got different,
maybe we
different
need that.
Talents. But
I would like to play our theme song in its entirety. There's really cool stuff in the middle of it.
Okay. Well, maybe we can do that. But they had the little mixing desk on stage.
Oh,
like they were
playing.
Oh,
no,
playing.
We
no,
can't
no, no.
do that.
That's what I'm saying. No. Like Maddie, don't commit to this.
Sorry, misunderstood.
No, they were doing it.
Yep.
Anyway, at the end of the show, because, you know, now we're podcast buddies with them, so I saw Dion, he gave me a big hug. He's like, thanks for coming. And it just felt normal in Melbourne. And we bought our little Welcome to Patchwork mug. He was like, can I give you a mug? We're like, no way, we're buying merch.
Yes, we know.
We get this system. Oh. And it was really, Number One Daughter came with me, Lorraine, our scholarship live guy, and Michelle Laurie. So
gorgeous.
We had like a little fun gang.
Fun. I was not there.
No, she was invited.
I was invited.
But she was in Sydney, which is perfectly fine as well.
Yes.
She saw Hamilton.
I did. It trumps it.
It does trump Welcome to Patrick. But it was just, it just made a difference. Like, we laughed so much, we cried.
Fun. Yes.
Yeah, we had a beautiful, beautiful time. Get on that podcast.
Yep.
Give it a couple of episodes. They just talk about nothing and it's funny. It's just funny and light, and I love it.
They're
and they're
gorgeous.
Kind.
They
it's
are
not
kind.
A mean podcast.
No, it's not a mean podcast. Yeah. Okay, my make a difference. You just get this piece. We were going to Sydney. We were going to the National Athletics for my daughter Millie.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you all about that in about 2 years. But I'm not allowed to talk about that.
No.
So, but we went and we were trying to find accommodation. I spoke to my friend Suze, who lives down here, and she said, my mum lives 10 minutes from the track.
Amazing.
And she's going away that week, so you could stay there. And I was like, what? Because trying to find accommodation for five people.
There's no five people packages.
So much money.
So much money. You have to book an extra two rooms.
And we wouldn't have been able to do it.
No.
And normally Darren and Millie go to athletics and we don't go. But we thought we have not been anywhere.
And it's
Let's have
holidays.
A little bit of a holiday, right?
Yes.
So anyway, so this is a big shout out to Glenys, who listens to the podcast.
Oh, Glenys, you're the best.
And I'm just going to cry. When we got to her house, she left all these notes and she said, I've made some chicken and vegetable soup for you in the fridge and some choc chip biscuits.
No. Is she a nana?
Yes.
Yes, that's a
but
beautiful thing.
But I just cried. I just thought, who offers their home and then says, I've made you some soup to get you started?
Women.
Women.
Women. Women
oh, my
best.
Gosh. Anyway, we just.
Well, thank you, Glenys.
It just made all the difference.
Having a house with enough space.
Yes.
And how small a motel room is.
Enough beds. I had a kitchen.
Yes.
There was a laundry. I said, I've used all your Dynamo. I've never used that before.
It's got Omo in it, but it's not.
I sent her a message saying, I forgot to replace it. She said, don't worry, I've got another bottle. That'll last me a year. But it was lovely and,
yeah,
it made a huge difference.
Oh, that's a great difference.
The second mega difference was we were getting back on the plane to get home from Sydney to Melbourne. We were separated in the seats. So Molly was going to be on her own, and then it was me over the aisle, and then Miss Ten and Darren was in front, and Molly was like petrified.
Yes.
So the man next to Miss Ten said, would you like me to swap with her?
Oh.
And I just said, you couldn't have been more helpful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
So he just casually goes over. And she just comes and sits next to us. And I just, thank you, man. And we had a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. And I said, should we offer him one? And then we all said, nah. Because we really wanted them.
And that's probably the last thing
I know. He probably would have said no anyway. But anyway, I just thank you, man.
In our heart, we gave you a Krispy Kreme.
Thank you, man. I don't know who you are, what your story is, but you saw that.
Yes.
And you made an enormous difference.
Yep.
So thank you.
Yep. I feel like people that travel a lot, which is no one in the last year, they actually really get that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and
they're like,
she was
those
frightened.
People should be together.
Yeah, she was frightened. Like,
unlike the airlines, who can't possibly ask one of those people, could you just move so this family could sit together?
Well, the other thing was when we arrived at Melbourne Airport, everything that could happen happened in checking in.
Oh, yeah.
So I grabbed,
I
grabbed one of the Virgin ladies and I said, over here is every disability you can possibly imagine.
Yes.
Could you please help me?
Yep.
So I'm trying to keep Molly calm. It was difficult for Darren to hear because we had masks back on.
Yes.
We had all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you all need to help me.
I know.
Right now.
Bugger the lanyard. We need a headband.
I know. So
it just stands out.
Well, I think I've got to get the lanyard because
get the lanyard.
I haven't taken on a flight in 2 years and there was a big difference
that's right.
in
and
her ability to cope.
Well, we've had a year at home.
Yeah. She's, it was.
Yep. Get the lanyard.
Yep. So I'm going to do that. Anyway, that was a long make a difference.
That's okay. It's our podcast.
Well, there was a lot. So I, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I haven't done anything for a year.
So true. All right. So I had two things that made me laugh. The first one was also comedy festival related. I went and saw Will Eagle with three beautiful girlfriends. And it's Will Anderson and
awesome.
It's his I think it was his 2017 or 18 show.
Yes.
And he redid it.
Was this
the police?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, it was I've seen him a lot of times.
Yeah.
I'm fangirl, don't mind admitting it. And I think it was his best show.
Right.
And we were just transfixed and laughing and
do you think
feeling
he'd
emotion.
Had a break?
Well, I think I heard him. He did another podcast with Nellie Thomas.
Yeah,
I hope you've
listened to that
because
too.
She is an awesome, awesome force.
It was an awesome episode.
It's an awesome episode. So listen to that, Pease. And he talked about how, like, he'd refined it. He didn't do a new show and how he'd sat with it and how it had got better. And then when I went and saw it, I was like, wow.
He really had.
It really did get better. But, I mean, Nellie Thomas.
By the time we get to Perth.
She is a friend of ours, but she had a photo with him and I didn't. So that's all I'm saying. Okay.
All right.
About that.
Well, I mean, except where you're at in the pecking order.
I know. I have to accept. I'm down the bottom. But anyway, it was awesome. And I laughed and I was like, I wish I could, you know, I just want everybody to come.
Yes.
So it was that good that I was like, oh, but anyway, apparently I just can't afford to pay for everybody to go.
No, you can't.
I can't.
Of course
but
not.
It was really, really good. And I had a really nice night with my friends. So
good.
That made me laugh a lot. And the other thing that made me laugh is, well, apart from everything makes me laugh about this TV show, Lego Masters is back on.
Oh, so good.
Oh, it's the.
I just love the neurodiversity.
Oh, it's just
brilliant.
Everything.
It's everything.
It's everything. It's the best show on TV.
It is the
I know
best
there's
show.
4-year-olds with Annabelle.
Yeah.
So they can go neck and neck, the two of them. But this woman goes, not woman, I shouldn't say like that. This competitor goes, I'm a science communicator. And then we laughed. And then Buzz goes, oh. I'm an Xbox communicator.
Yes, you are, mate.
And I thought, well, that sounds so much better.
That show.
Hamish is
so
funny. It's just, how can you not love it? And then I was messaging my friend Claire because in 2019 her and I were waiting in an airport in Santiago watching the finale on our iPad.
Oh, were you? Oh, the stopover.
The stopover. We're like, we've got to watch Lego Masters. So, you know, it's an all-age group TV show. But, oh, goodness, I love it.
Oh, and it's so good.
You just laugh the whole way through
it. It's the only reality TV show Darren will watch.
Oh,
He's not up for them at all.
We all watch it.
All watch it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, sit down and watch.
The Brick of Doom.
I know, the Brick of Doom.
Like, it sounds like Brick of Doom.
Funny. It's just so clever.
So clever.
I brought the Lego back out because I'd packed it all away and they're back at it.
Oh, yeah. Lego.
I said,
God
let's
bless
make
you.
One and let's put all the colours inside and smash it and see what happens. We'll do a slow-mo.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, Lego.
So cool.
So anyway, what made you laugh this
week? Well, at the National Athletics. Mm. So let me explain. This is where all people sort of 12 and up. Come to compete in the National Athletics for Australia. So some of these people were trying to get into the Olympics team and some of these people were trying to get into the Paralympic team.
Yep.
So there's para athletes and your everyday able-bodied superstars, right?
Yes,
all in the one spot. Now, I've got so much to say about this because so much happened, but I'll talk about that in a snap pee. But we went over to watch the long jump because – so in the classifications with – children in the multi-class or the para teams, you've got children with intellectual disabilities, children with all types of CP. There's children amputees. There's deaf children, hard of hearing. Mm. There's blind. There's every type of child. So automatically I love them. So
of course.
I just cry every time I look at them.
Yes.
And that's why Millie's like, see, you can't come. You just cry.
I'm just so proud of them. Yeah, and everybody embracing diversity. And
when my friend's three boys were on the podium, I said really loudly, they're just so handsome. And she goes, this is why I don't want you to come. Because they're all 15.
Yeah,
but they are just,
they are.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we're at the long jump. This beautiful boy with Down syndrome, he's at the start of the long jump and he puts his hands up in the air and he starts to clap.
Yeah.
And we're all just para parents,
all
peas. And we just were laughing and crying and clapping.
Yeah.
And gosh,
I love it.
It was just beautiful. And I thought, I looked across because we're at the shitty side of the track always.
Yes.
The paras, right?
Yes. Yep.
So I've got a lot to say about that.
Yep.
But I looked over and I thought, all of you sitting in that grandstand watching the perfect triple jumpers,
You are missing out
because what is happening right here is the beauty of life.
Oh,
and I just we're
everybody
all
deserves to be on the
on.
Same track and that you just go one after another. But
oh,
anyway.
No. That is not what happens.
Well,
anyway. So
you got to see it and you got to laugh.
That's right. Yeah. And we laughed with joy and pride.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, every one of those children.
Yeah. Awesome.
What joy to their families.
Oh, so much joy.
So much joy. And the other little boy, well, he's not little, teenage boy with an intellectual disability, he's like, I got a PB, 3 meters 23 at the top of his
and
voice.
Everyone's cheering.
And we're just, oh, gosh. I can't express to you.
No.
What that feels like.
Well, people just never going to get to know Mandy.
No.
So you're lucky.
I know I am. I feel lucky.
Yep.
I felt like you can all be over there with your seriousness with your kids.
That's
and I
right.
thought,
And we're living our best life here and we are enjoying it more.
Yes. Anyway, that is it.
Anyway, that's it. Except to say, I'm sure you've seen it on our socials by now, but we have got the most beautiful new merch in the whole world.
Oh.
It's the most beautiful merch in the whole world.
Oh, my gosh. I cried and cried.
Oh, so did I.
Thank
We've
you,
got,
Luke.
Smilestones merch.
Smilestones merch.
Come on. Now, I thought we have a beautiful P who told us about the term Smilestones.
Yeah, so we best.
And so then I messaged her and said, thank you for telling us about Smilestones. And she said, that's okay. It's someone else she met.
Okay, all right. So we haven't stolen it from her.
And I said, well, we would like to give both of you Smilestones merch. And she said she doesn't know if she still is in touch with that person. That person's going through a hard time. So
right,
not that she's not in touch with her, if that person's sort of off. You know how we all go on and off social media. But I just wanted to say that she was so happy that we're having the Smilestones merch. And so I said, we'll send her some.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's just beautiful. We got an umbrella.
Oh, the umbrella.
You just peed.
Come on, Melbourne. We need that umbrella.
We do.
I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I won't buy it.
No, don't buy it.
Because I was like, I'm going to buy the bag. And then Kate tells me off for buying the
just
merch.
Just wait.
I can't wait. I'm impulsive.
You don't get it any quicker.
It's hard. I bought the book.
I think it slows us down.
Like, okay,
now,
all right.
Can we take this order off?
Okay.
Anyway.
Right. Merch. We've merch, got the
And you
live
can buy
shows.
It at our Melbourne show. So
yes,
if you want to come and buy it from P-Friend Lorraine and probably Auntie
Lacey,
you know, there you get to meet some two genuine stars there.
Yes,
so
that's right.
So that's how you prefer to do it. We would love that.
We'll be at the Melbourne shows, the merch.
We'll be at the shows. We'll be signing all your T-shirts. No, I'm joking.
My friend sent me a message. Will I get any signature? I said, I'll sign your boob.
Yeah, that's right. I will. You
She's
can
like,
get it
okay.
tattooed.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So two Melbourne shows. Go to our website, twopeasinapodcast.com.au.
Yep.
Go to the live shows. You can get the tickets there.
Yep.
Then we've got the go to Booktopia, pre-order our book.
Please.
This is ridiculous, all the things we're saying.
Yep.
And that's about it.
That's about it. But I was – Lee and Annabelle have written a book who, you know, Mandy and I adore. I was like, what's the release date? What's the release date?
I texted Kay straight away. I was like, thank goodness it's after us.
September. Yes, you can have September.
Oh, I can imagine it was coming out at the same time.
They probably
like,
sold more pre-orders than we'll even print
book.
A book. Oh, yes.
Oh, that will be written so beautifully.
It will be amazing.
I know. I can't wait.
I know.
Anyway,
can't wait either.
That made me very nervous. Chatterpeas.
Chatterpeas
just so you know.
Yep, but I'm so glad that we're out first. Because we are no threat to them.
No.
None.
We are no
As
threat
As you all
to them.
Know, they're awesome and amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're on the team.
Yep. Rate and review. It makes a lot of difference and
yes.
we love it.
Thank you.
And we will
see Thank you to our supporters.
Yeah,
I've been buying
OMO. Yep, the OMOs.
I might try a bit of Dynamo. I'll see. It was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, the liquid. One of my girls goes, ooh, liquid? I was like, I know. Anyway, thank you, Peace.
Well, thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.